在我风落The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The Gospel of Christ. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. In the name of God, amen. There are a few among you, I won't name names, who don't do too well with email. Maybe even members of our vestry for whom looking and reading and finding things important attached go unresponded. Can you imagine? But I have to confess that I have a personal disdain for email. But for maybe a different reason. A lot of people will say, "Well, it's just all this computer and electronic stuff. It's beyond me." But phones are okay? Well, I have disdain for email because too often emails are a substitute for personal contact. And boy, do I love personal contact. Sometimes I'll get an email that goes on 4 pages. And of course, the important thing, the important reason for the contact is in the last paragraph on the bottom. There's been a recent development, I'm sure many of you have seen this too, that people have gotten all concerned about. In some emails, you'll find a signature line that includes pronouns. like from Christopher, he, him, in parentheses. Have you seen that? Well, people are all, what? What is this? Now what are we doing? What political statement is being made with this? Brothers and sisters, it's not a political statement at all. I had to find out, too, when I saw this many years ago, probably 5 to 7 years ago, somebody writing him, her, she, them, theirs. And I looked it up because somebody gratefully attached a link that said why pronouns are important. Well, pronouns are important for some people. Things have changed. And for those of us who are a little bit sticky about email, this kind of change goes even deeper. For some, gender identity is not as easy as it used to be. It's not so binary. Or from day to day, for some people, it causes some uncomfortable feelings, some wonderment about who I am in the world. Am I on this side of the line? Am I on that side of the line? Maybe I'm just walking the middle of the line. Maybe I just don't know. When people ask to have a gender, or a pronoun rather, identified for them, they're not asking you to enter into a political dialogue. They're asking you to respect who they are, who they find themselves to be. And though for some it may change, day to day, moment to moment, we, Christians, have a call to respect the person's wishes, and by creating an environment where it's safe to say, I'm just, you know, not on this side or that side today, or this year I'm right down the middle, whatever it is. We want to provide people an atmosphere where it's okay to have those feelings. And if it comes to expressing what those feelings are about, that we are safe people with whom to talk about it. It also says that I'm not alone in this world. I have relationships with other people, personal relationships that sometimes happen in emails, but mostly in my preference personally. And in those relationships, I have an effect on them. I have an effect on people with whom I communicate. If I'm big and burly and angry all the time and slamming fist, people are going to approach me very much differently if I'm short, quiet, and demure. So, in that effect that I have on people, if they ask me to respect pronoun, small act on my part to accommodate. And I see some of you already looking in the bulletin. What does this have to do with the Jesus story today? What do pronouns have to do with Jesus? Well, I'm here to tell you first that this parable that Jesus tells about the man whose property produced an abundance of food and crops, this parable is not about money, it's not about wealth, and it's not even, I'm sorry to say, about giving to the church. So that if you have extra in your pocket, you should be giving that to the church. You should. But that's not what this parable is about. Growing crops, storing up for the future what is extra, those are okay. But Jesus calls this man a fool. What has he done wrong? What was his mistake? What was his sin? What was his error? With me, put it back into the context of this story. Someone comes to Jesus, some stranger, and says, Jesus, tell my brother to give me my share. This family is fractured. Possessions have become the wedge between family members. One or both of these brothers is thinking only about their own comforts, their own personal treasures. And Jesus refuses to take part in that relationship, in that family, where love and sharing has lost all value. Into this, Jesus tells the story of this fool who has more crops than he needs. Let's get to the heart of this parable, because it is about pronouns. My crops. I know what I will do. I will store up my stuff, all of my grain. You see the pronouns that are being used? He mistakenly thought that his wealth would protect him and that it was in isolation from the rest of the world. That he produced all of this grain by himself without connection with everyone else in his community. And he thought that his abundance was meant for him alone. This man was a fool because he didn't see that he has a place and a responsibility in community. He's lost sight that he's part of a system that is interdependent. That no one lives on her own and no one thrives on his own. Cutting someone or some group out of the assistance they need, he stored up all of that grain for himself. Cutting someone in the community away from that, especially to benefit the rich, is contrary to the teachings of Jesus and is to miss the very point of this parable. What happens to a community when only the rich have grain and there is a famine? Suddenly, what was community is now imbalanced, prejudicial towards those with money, and puts in mortal jeopardy those who cannot afford the new prices. What happens to a community when only the rich have health care and the poor are neglected? The system, the whole system becomes imbalanced. Even wealthy people are affected because what we see as personal illness quickly can become public illness with infectious disease. And increases in poverty have always historically resulted in increased occurrences in violent crimes. Yes, possessions are their own punishment. And we have a choice of what to do when we are blessed with abundance. In a couple of weeks, Jesus is going to tell us, do not worry over what to eat, what to wear, how to groom your hair. God will take care of you. This is Jesus inviting us to trust God for our needs. Trust that others will see my need and God will inspire sharing, giving. The parable today for us is about community, where we find support and comfort and help and hope, where we can lift up others who need assistance and be lifted up when our resources exceed our needs. Don't believe the hype we hear that being a billionaire is an aim, a goal that we're going to achieve someday. Believe instead that you share in the blessings of being part of a community, and you also share in the responsibilities of that community. Inevitably, there always is this question whenever we talk about sharing with those who have less. Aren't there going to be people who don't deserve this and yet receive a share of public assistance? We cannot ask that question unless we're also willing to ask, aren't there people who have much more money and many more resources than I and who do not deserve it? Our lives, being followers of Jesus, consist in this: that pronouns be changed. That we, not I, that we are grateful members of a community with blessings and responsibilities. That our responsibility includes feeding the hungry, housing the unhoused, welcoming the stranger and the outcast. That as members of a community, there is no them. There's only us and we. Amen.